Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah,
you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hairdistry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to your day off. My name is Corey. Of course, I'm sitting with my best friend, Tony. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, homie?
Nothing, man. I'm super excited about what's happening March 25th and 26th.
Oh, do we need a drum roll? Do we need... man, dude.
I have the worst drum roll ever, by the way. Just make it loud and hopefully...
Sounds more like ba-dum boom.
Ba-dum boom boom. Exactly. It's like a joke, right? Ba-dum boom boom. Hey, yeah, so listen, we've been talking about it for the last past few podcasts, and here we are. We're going to talk about it again. Please save the dates for March 25th and 26th. We are once again doing Presley Poe and Friends in Frederick, Maryland. But today we're ready to announce our lineup. So
what?
I hope you're as excited as I am.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah. I mean, we've teased it, like you said, and every time we teased it, I would get excited like I haven't heard it before. And I already know.
Exactly. I remember our guest last week, Austin. He was dying to know who our guests were, and yes, so am I. So, well, I've been teasing it as like Presley Poe and Friends, and each year with Presley Poe and Friends, it's Presley, obviously. So Presley will be there, but then we get to do her friends, or you know, as the kids say, our featured artists. So who are our featured artists? We've got some pretty exciting ones. There is our dear friend Miss Rebecca Taylor. Miss Rebecca Taylor Hare is going to be there. I think we need to stop here and just talk about this. So we're doing on Saturday night. We're doing like a get together, you know, we'll have a couple drinks and stuff. All the artists are going to perform that night. They're going to show you what they have. Each artist is going to have about 45 minutes team paired up. You know, they'll have 45 minute slots. And then the next day on Sunday, we're doing all a la carte classes. So you just take the classes that you want. You go on the website, you just you pick what classes you want, and that's that. So Rebecca will definitely be doing some vivid hair colors. When we were talking to her on the phone the other week, she's like, I am just so ready because she's got some stuff to share. So Rebecca Taylor is going to be there.
And no other.
The one and only.
Mr. A-Rod.
So Mr. A-Rod PR23, again, if you're not following him, follow him. However, I know you are because I think the dude has like 2 million followers. So I know everybody is following this guy. But he's an outstanding barber, outstanding social media presence. He, I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that he's going to do a social media class.
Yeah, he has, I believe he's going to do a couple of hair cutting classes as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get your barber skills on and your social media skills on. And he's fantastic at both. I mean, someone who takes both skills and combine them and you got 2 million followers. And that's.
Yeah. And like what he brings as far as energy is crazy. The room will be set up.
And what's so cool is that Saturday night show or get together, mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a lot of these shows that you go to, you see the artists on stage and they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you're going to be able, it's a whole networking aspect behind it. So, you know, we keep it intimate. We only have 150 tickets available for Saturday night. So it's real intimate. And then after the gathering, after you watch them perform on stage, they're going to come down and have drinks with everybody and they're not leaving. So, you know what I mean? You'll be able to network with them, network with other like-minded people. Mm-hmm. And it's just an amazing social gathering. And if you want,
you know, to hang, Right. It's just a hang. It's cool, but you get to hang with the people that that, you know, usually disappear behind stage. So that's really cool. We often kid that, like, you know, when we go to hair shows and stuff, we get invited to like cool parties. So we were like, how can we bring the cool party to everybody? And this is our kind of way of bringing the cool party to everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you go to the website and for Saturday night's event, there's going to be a special, what are we calling it?
Like a VIP.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to have your, the ability to kind of have, a little bit even more intimate time with our artists. So we're going to set up a couple tables. And last year when we were in Zion, we did like a mastermind table and we thought it was such a great idea. So we're going to do some mastermind tables, but not that we're going to do it, but we're going to do it, with the artists. So, you know, you'll have like real intimate time with Presley, with A-Rod, with Curl Factor, with Rebecca Taylor, and also with the Godfather.
Oh, dude. Yeah. The living legend.
The God. I always call him the Godfather of the industry only because legitimately, I don't know a person who's more respected in our industry than this person. Actually, our guest today is going to be Cassandra Platt. Hey, Cassandra, who would you consider the Godfather of our industry?
Oh, no, that's a high pressure question. I don't know.
No, it's totally a high pressure question. Nothing. You ain't got nothing for me. All right, I'm going to take over.
I don't know.
So,
yeah.
The one and only. Speaking of Zion, he was in Zion with us last year. So,
is it Sam?
Sam V.
Yeah. Okay. So, I was like tiptoeing around it. Right.
Well, she's the one who thought the wrong name.
I know.
Then the real Godfather's going to get it. Yeah. So, So Sam V, he's heading up, I don't even know how to put it, but Sam's going to be there. Sam's going to be teaching a bunch of haircutting classes. Sam is like super excited. Listen, if you haven't had an opportunity to hang out with Sam, like his energy is infectious, not only infectious, but like you feel like a better person being in his presence because he's about as humble and as nice and as sweet and as real as they come.
And that when you have conversation, you'll notice when you're at the show, when you have conversation with him, he blocks everybody else. It's all about you. He truly cares about you. About the artist, about the person. I mean, he is such a sweet human being.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We're super excited to have him. This is our third attempt at him, but you know, COVID took him away one time, and Naha took him away the other time. But we got him this year. We're handcuffing him in, putting him in shackles. Sam, you're with us, bro. You're not going anywhere. So you can go to PresleyPoeandFriends.com and you can get your tickets there. Soon you can get your tickets there.
Right.
They'll be available, but
pay attention. And
our social medias. And all
yeah.
That
so if you want to be one of the 50 that has the VIP experience with all five artists, then make sure you get your tickets early. Just pay attention when they go on sale. We'll let everybody know. And the first 50 gets it, and we'll apologize to anybody who tried to get it and couldn't get it. We're sorry, but you know, show up. You'll be able to have that kind of intimate conversations with them after the event on Saturday night.
So we already teased it. So our guest today is Miss Cassandra Platinum. We've been trying to do this for quite a few years. I don't even know what the holdup was. It just hasn't happened. We've met at numerous hair shows, but last year at Zion National Park, when we did Hair Love, it was the first time we actually got to spend a little bit of time with Cassandra. And then certainly, at Hair Love, in Dripping Springs, Texas, right outside of Austin. And this year we spent time together. This year was like the bond, you know. Mm-hmm. We got to really hang out with Cassandra and
play some games. And
yeah,
exactly.
I got to watch her throw a baseball.
Did she dunk you?
She dunked you.
Oh, she dunked you. we don't know. So today is Cassandra McLaughlin, also known as Cassandra Platinum. Cassandra, dude, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Yeah, you're right. We've been trying this for quite a few years. We kind of had hit or misses, but you know, I believe in good timing. So I think this is the one.
I think we were chatting pre-talk is how busy everybody was last year and start of this year. So it's just like everybody's just moving, trying to catch up from the last 2 years being off.
Yeah.
I think there was like that period of hair shows where like everyone was just like had this psychotic schedule, you know. It's like 30 places at once, 2 minutes in between. I remember there was a premiere and I literally walked off main stage with with Jenny Strebe, we did a segment together, walked behind the stage and walked on with Redken like immediately. It was like, this is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's very cool though, too.
Yeah, it was fun. It was so fun. Yeah.
That's absolutely. So crazy. Yeah. Last year was like, we had all those 30 hair shows, but we had them in like 2 months.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I actually was born and grew up for like the beginning of my life in Southern Missouri. So a small town, is where I live now, actually. But we moved to Tampa when I was 9. And so like Tampa, I feel like was kind of like my formative years. It was like fourth grade through high school, college, beauty school. And like the first year of my beauty career, like in a salon. So it was like all the kind of important things that happened in Tampa. Childhood happened in Missouri. But in 2019, I actually moved back to Missouri with a brief stint in between there. So mm-hmm. I've been back and forth between Florida and Missouri a couple times. Yeah.
Is your family still in Tampa or did they all go to Missouri as well?
No, we're all here. So literally like in a town of like 12,000 people, I have 2 sisters, a brother, parents, nieces, nephews. I actually have a great nephew now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
A little baby. Yeah. My oldest nephew had a baby. So, yeah. So like, we're all kind of like concentrated in a very small town. Like
a third of the people is your family.
Yeah. It's like, we have dinner and I'm like, we need to get like, you know, move all the furniture out to get everyone. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cause usually people will move to Florida, to retire or to spend out their years. You guys did it kind of reverse, right?
You went
early to Florida and then moved back to the middle of the country.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, like over the last couple of years though, it's been really like kind of like a blessing in a way to be in a small town. Like we've been very like insulated from a lot of things going on and stuff like that. And it's been really good for my parents. So, to be around all their children. So this is the first time, cause my siblings and I are very far in age. This is the first time we've all lived in the same town since I was like 6 years old. Oh, so, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's crazy.
That's awesome. Been cool. It's been really cool.
Very cool. Hey, where'd you go to hair school in Tampa?
I went to the Paul Mitchell School in Tampa. I was actually student number 4. So I was the 4th student enrolled in that, in the school. And, it was interesting. It was like very serendipitous how I got there. Like I had a hairdresser, like I was debating, I was in college. I'm like, I don't know, I'm going to go to beauty school. And a hairdresser gave me an invitation. And so I went to the grand opening and was too scared to go in by myself. And so I didn't go in. And then I ended up enrolling after that. And I was the 4th student enrolled in the school. Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
Founding member. Yeah.
Founding. That's it, right?
Yeah. You could have been first.
I know. I was 4th.
Number 1. Right.
Thanks, Tony. He's like, not quite good enough.
Yeah. Oh,
well, it's like when I was clocking out, it was like 00004. That was my number. Yeah.
They would have added the zeros later, right?
No, I think they had started with like the 5 block of a number for like clocking in, so it was lots of zeros. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh, that's funny. Did 4.
Yeah. So where we're going, the event is going to be at a Paul Mitchell. It's Paul Mitchell the Temple. It's like the coolest 4-story. Building. Corey has a little story about the goddess room. Amazing.
Yeah, but it's a 30,000 square foot hair school, if you can imagine. Wow. For a second. Yeah, it's ginormous. It's in an old Masonic temple. So it was a Masonic temple for like, I don't know, like 120 years, 110 years, something like
that's
that.
That's cool.
And then when they went to sell, when the Masons went to sell the building, Sharon and Charles Reiser bought it to open the school. And what's very cool is Sharon was the first woman in the temple in like 120 years, 110 years, whatever it was. So what she did, which is so super Sharon dope, is that she renamed it the Goddess Room. And she's like, so for the next 100 years, it's going to be nothing but goddesses. She's definitely taking back the energy of the room. And I mean, taking it back, she's redefined what the energy of the room is.
It's the polarity. Right. Equal and opposite.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And she's dude, it's one of the best hair schools in the country. Like
that's cool. I didn't even know that existed. That's amazing.
Well, you should come.
I will.
25th and 26th. Shameless plug. To the
show. Fun.
But yeah. But if you're ever in the DC area, hit us up and you know, we'll hang out and then we'll swing you by.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely.
DC, Baltimore, whatever. So did you, when you first like started your career, were you in like the Paul Mitchell ethos?
Not initially. So I actually had like a really rough first experience in a salon in Tampa. So I worked, it was like right by my house and like, I really didn't know better, but I, I was in that salon for about a year, year and a half, and like kind of got bounced around, really didn't have a lot of support. Like it was just like kind of, you know, that experience. But I actually decided to, that's when I moved back to Missouri for that like 5-year stint. And so I just wanted something new and different. And I was young, I was 22. I was like, oh, let's go move, you know, where my family is and like just get a new experience. And so I moved to a town called Springfield, which is a larger town than what I'm in now. And I actually ended up having to go back to school for 3 months, which was insane. Like, I don't know why I agreed to do that. Well, I did because I needed my license. But if I would have stayed in Florida a little bit longer, I wouldn't have had to do that. But it was actually a really good learning experience. And through a connection I made in the school, I ended up working for a Paul Mitchell salon in Springfield. And so it kind of got me back into like that connection and the kind of into the network. And I became a national educator through actually the people who owned the salon. Like I started working that way and they certified me because they were the trainers. And fun fact, they actually went to high school with my brother and sister. They were like in this from the same town. So it was like this crazy, like serendip. I had so many moments of like serendipity in my career where there's like these really intense, like deep historical connections to my life. And so they ended up, I got certified as national educator, started traveling all the time. And then I moved back to Florida like 5 years later after I got divorced. And I really got deep into Paul Mitchell culture at that point. So yeah, started traveling internationally and doing stage work and stuff like that. So
that's so cool. So did you always kind of know that you wanted to be on a stage? Because we've only ever kind of really seen you on a stage.
You know, I think I knew without knowing exactly what it was, because I always had this feeling like I wanted to do something big and I wanted to like connect with a lot of people. And I always felt like even in school, like education was part of what I did. Like I always took like a leadership role kind of, I don't want to say unintentionally because I don't think it was unintentional, but like almost like on a subconscious level, like if someone needed help, like I could explain it to them and guide them. And I learned through, we had to do like all these tests in school, like the, you know, Myers-Briggs and stuff like that, or like the verbal linguistic. And everything that I ever scored on was always like completely the opposite of like 99% of hairdressers. Like I always got math, logic, verbal linguistic, like strategic, like like all the things. And like all the hairdressers like body kinesthetic and musical and all these like really beautiful expressions. And I'm like, I'm going to read the book. You know, like I need step by steps. And so it was a little bit of a challenge in hair school because all my instructors, like very few of them actually like spoke that kind of language. And I'm like, no. Like I need to know like the details about this. But I think that there was something to that. Like being able to harness that, like that gave me the ability to explain things differently. So I always kind of took that role. I'm like, no, I get it. Let me explain it to you, even in school. So, yeah.
Did you find like when you did like these personality tests and stuff, because you weren't scoring the same as like the masses, did it intimidate you? Did you ever think like maybe this industry isn't for me? Or was that just part of the challenge? Did you kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know that it intimidated me. Like I always felt very like confident in like my learning ability and understanding. And I found a way to harness it. I think that's why I leaned into corrective color so much, because it's like so strategic and detailed and like all these pieces together. And I found a way to make it work for me where it did show up. And it wasn't necessarily around the personality test, but like it was awareness that like I operated differently was on stage a lot, because I felt like there's so many dynamic speakers and like they're high energy and they're like, they've got this kind of element of show. And I felt like I was coming in almost like a teacher and a little bit more like grounded and calm. And I couldn't like get my voice to like do the like it just doesn't do it, you know? And, you know, people were like, I love listening to you. You're so calm. I'm like, is that a good thing? Like, you know? And so I had this like really like, I don't know, like not a long period, but like a strong period of like really questioning, like, am I good enough like to hold presence next to like these really, really dynamic people or like bubbly people and stuff. And so that's probably where it showed up the most. Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't really imagine you and Robert Cromians on a stage together.
We did a lot, actually. Yeah.
Because you guys are definitely like opposite energies, right?
Yeah. You know, we actually had like a really good dynamic, because it's like he has the ability to kind of center and calm, but like he would always do this thing. And I learned it was like kind of his thing. It was funny. Like when he wanted to like include someone, he would just walk up, ask you a question, stick a mic in your face, whether you were ready or not. Like I was like applying a color. We were in Spain once and I was applying a color for Lucy Dowdy. I was assisting her on stage and he literally walked up and he's like, give us your top 4 tips for social media. Like pop the mic in my face. And I was like, But like I was ready because he did it to me before on a stage and it wasn't ready, and I'm like, that'll never happen again. But it's kind of cool, it's kind of fun, you know, like it's a good dynamic. Like he's like the consummate like stage performer and MC and all the things, so yeah.
And you said that you know you were kind of comparing yourself to others with the people with the high energy and stuff like that. Were you nervous to get in front of a large crowd, or was it more your comparison to the person you were with up there?
Yeah, I think probably a little bit of both, but like the comparison was always like super internal, like, you know, what should I do? And I was like always thinking like, oh, you know, that's what that should look like. Like a stage performer should be, you know, dynamic and doing like these things. And I really had to like recenter, but like, yes, I was nervous. I, by nature, incredibly shy person. Like I grew up like literally like hiding from people and like hiding from company. Like if new people came over, like I would literally sit in my parents' room for 3 hours and like not come out because I was so scared. But I think what happened, there's a couple things that clicked in. Like the drive to share ended up being bigger than my nerves. Like I'm like, this, like I've got something to share, and it was like, this is important. And so I had to make that excitement bigger than like the fear. And then once this was like a new period of time where I was like on a lot of stages, like in a very short period of time. And so it's like all of a sudden I'm seeing this new world that I hadn't seen before. And that's really where the comparison lived, was seeing like how many people were not like me. And then I'm standing here by myself, but like getting feedback, getting like real feedback, not just all like positive, like getting like, you know, good, bad, like this works, this doesn't. I started to kind of like create my own space in that, where I'm like, I don't have to be like anyone else. Like no one does. And like, that's really important to like, really like figure out your strengths. And that's why I like things like the personality test. Like you have to be careful, like they don't like define you, or you don't like create an identity based on them. But like starting to look in, like, I was like, okay, I am strategic. I am logical. I can't explain things this way. I'm going to go harder on that, not pull away from it. Like, I'm not going to try and be something else. And when I got comfortable leaning into it, it was like, became like my thing. And I like the comfort level like escalate. I'm like, I don't have to do anything else other than be who I am.
Did you try to, like, when you first got on stage, did you try to mimic the people that you were seeing before? Like, did you try to mimic the energy or the,
no, I couldn't, like literally like my voice won't do that. Like, I can't, like, it's like, I thought about it, and I found like with anything that you watch, it's like, you find like maybe like mannerisms and stuff. And like, what I did learn how to do was project my own voice a lot farther, or like carry myself up a little higher, like things like that. Like I picked things out, but like literally like the work it took me to actually start projecting my voice with any kind of authority was so hard. Cause my voice, like when I was a kid too, like my mom used to always call me Munchkin, cause like my voice was so tiny and small and soft. And so I tried to like pick up on things like that, but like not mimic in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And your friends, if you would have done it, your friends were like, what's wrong with her? What'd she
say? I would have looked crazy. Yeah. I'm like, I'm up there like dancing and whatever. Like, no, there's no way.
Yeah. But I mean, Redken kind of like, you know, all their whatever make you dance around and stuff.
They do. Yeah. That, you know, it's funny. It's like, as I get older, like obviously, like I feel like everyone kind of quits caring quite as much what other people think is, like, you know, sure, in your 20s or teenagers, whatever. And like when I first got to writing, I'm like, I don't know if I could do this, like clapping and stuff. But, you know, it does have like a root, and it does have effectiveness. Like there are times like we'd go on stage and we'd be out in the crowd, and like, I mean, I didn't have to do the whole thing, but like we'd be clapping and you feel the energy, and we get on stage and it's like you're connected to the audience immediately. So sometimes it's like, yes, like be yourself, but also like be willing to experience like new things, especially if you're part of a culture of a company, like you got to get into it, you know?
Yeah.
That was cool about the Zion when we were doing breath work, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was, 50, 60 of us up there on that roof?
And 100.
Yeah.
I think it was like 100, yeah.
Yeah, but you totally just, you didn't care. You blocked everybody out, and you really just focused on your experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And stuff like that, to your point, will help you get through and just be you and not worry about what other people really think or you know, don't care.
If we can once again go down the breath work like rabbit hole, it was very interesting to me, like to your point 100%, is like in community I was able to let go more than being by myself.
Yeah,
right? Because when I'm by myself, it's only my ego, right? But there's something about that. What was your breath work experience like in Dripping Springs at Hair Love?
You know, I actually I didn't get to make the breathwork sessions those mornings. I know, but I do a lot of breathwork in my own practice. Like right. the coaching program that I'm in, I actually am getting certified in breathwork. And so I get to do a lot of breathwork. And like before the retreat, Elizabeth, Danny J, Rebecca Taylor, and I actually went to a breathwork session that's was hosted by one of the coaches that runs my program. And it was like a breathwork for the feminine. And it was like 200 women in a room, like collectively, like releasing and creating like all this space. And it, I will just say breathwork in general is such a powerful moment for a collective. Like there's like permission, there's space, there's energy, there's connection. So I know like how Elizabeth facilitates breathwork. And I saw some of the videos and the pictures and like beautiful, like phenomenal. Like she holds such an amazing safe space. Wow.
Yeah, safe space.
So yeah, I can imagine, but like the days that I had to teach and stuff like that, sometimes I just kind of isolate and center a little bit.
I'll tell you though, man, like I don't think we were, but you were kind of, you know, sort of like making fun of your voice a little bit, but your voice as a facilitator for breath work, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like I'm definitely, and it's to your point, it's so calming. It's so like chill, right? Like,
I'm actually certified in hypnosis too, so I can hypnotize you.
Really? Oh, hold yeah. on.
Yeah,
hold,
yeah, yeah.
We need to talk. I've been fascinated by hypnosis, you know, and can you kind of explain like how it really works? Not like the hubba bubba of it, but like how it really works.
Yeah. Like the hubba bubba is like very like rare and like far away. Like the things that you see on TV, like the cluck like a chicken, it's possible, but like that's like very much not a part of like therapeutic hypnosis. So I actually saw a hypnotherapist for about 5 years when I was in Florida, life-changing, like being able to like tap into subconscious mind and like be in your body and all the things, like it's amazing. So the way that it works is you have to have a willing participant. Like someone cannot be hypnotized unless they want to be, which is first and foremost, like kind of a myth to dispel, like someone can walk up and be like, sleep. And like, you're like, yeah, exactly. Oh, I just got it. No, I'm just kidding. I did it. So you have to have a willing participant, like someone has to be willing to be hypnotized, because it actually does take a huge level of like surrender. And it has to be in like the container of like a really trusted, safe relationship. But you're basically utilizing the trance-like state that the brain naturally goes in, like right before you fall asleep. Or if you're watching TV, so your brain will go into a specific type of wave where you'll start to like be more suggestible and things, or like if you're scrolling Instagram, like we go into trances all the time in our life. We just don't always recognize what they are. So you're utilizing that state to start accessing deeper parts of the subconscious mind. So you would go through like a process where you actually like open the mind through what we call like an induction. And that can be many different things depending on how someone's brain works. Like if someone's super logical, you would maybe do it like through confusing language. So it's like kind of like, you know, gets their brain into like a different mode. And then you would actually start walking down in their subconscious mind. Like you would use, you know, sometimes you can use things like the idea of like going down an elevator or going down a flight of stairs, and your brain naturally starts dropping into deeper states. And then like whatever is agreed upon, you could use different scenarios or things like that. So like hypnosis really does work. I found like for myself, I was able to tap in a lot of answers that I couldn't access consciously. I could access them in my unconscious state and remember them. Like, it's like, there's not this idea of like, you forget everything. I mean, you can with certain suggestions cause like a version of amnesia, but, it's amazing. Like you can use it for so many different things. Wow. It's amazing. Yeah.
I definitely, back to breathwork. That's kind of how I felt coming out of breathwork. I kind of felt like I was in like a different, and just, I guess the facilitation between Derek and Elizabeth too, like,
yeah,
it was, I was willing to go a little deeper, willing to take their suggestions a little bit.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Not, you know, anything but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to be hypnotized twice. The first time when we went to the comedian?
Oh, Flip Orley. We went to go see Flip Orley.
I was almost there. I was literally, and he goes, try to open your eyes. And I literally had a fight to open my eyes. And once I opened my eyes, he's like, but don't fight it. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
ruined, right? And then I tried to get hypnotized about smoking, and the woman, she didn't have, her voice was nearly as nice as your voice. Mm-hmm. Right? I could have probably just laid there and listened and probably hypnosis, but the woman, she had such a kind of like a high pitched kind of weird voice. And all I the whole time she's trying to put me on there, I'm thinking, oh, your voice is driving me nuts. Voice is driving me crazy. And that's the whole time. And, but yeah.
Well, hold on. Here's the best part about him. You ready? Uh-huh. Like, he's like, that hypnosis didn't work, but ask him if he smoked since that time.
Did you quit smoking?
I did, but not because of that.
I don't know.
It's because of my daughter.
I don't know.
My daughter, she would pickpocket me, and she was 5 or 6 at the time, and she would grab my cigarettes and throw them in the toilet or crush them and stuff like that. And then
it got expensive.
Yeah. And then one day I caught on to it. Right. So cause she would come up and run with her arms open, heart would melt, like give her a big hug. Mm-hmm. But really what she's doing is pickpocketing me.
Smart girl.
Yeah. So the one time I'm like, turn to the side. You're not going to get up this time. And then she asks, Dad, can smoking kill you? And I'm like, it does some people. And her little blue eyes got real watery and little tears drop. And she goes, Dad, I don't want you to die.
Oh my goodness.
And so that's the real reason why I quit. I
didn't. Better than any hypnosis.
Absolutely.
Well, I would argue that was hypnosis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teary blue eyes.
She planted a suggestion that you couldn't refuse.
100%
offer. You can't refuse. That's absolutely true.
She's like a master coach at like 6 years old. I got him.
Yeah. She still got me like that.
I know.
I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Her and I going to boxing classes.
I love that. That's amazing.
That's so cool. We teased before, but you're with Redken now, yeah?
Yeah, I've been a brand ambassador with Redken since 2017. Yeah.
What's a brand ambassador?
So we do primarily I've lived a little bit in the education network, just like as kind of like guest artists in a way, but we really like represent like social and digital, or like do independent events, things like that. So we live a little bit more like outside the education world. We're kind of more and technically in marketing, but like, it's a really like organic, like wonderful, like connection relationship where like we get to show up as ourselves. Mm-hmm. On behalf of Redken. So it's fun. It's been really amazing. Like actually Elizabeth and I helped initiate the ambassador program with Redken at end of 2017. And with a couple of the people that work there, like we helped ideate it and create it. And then it launched in 2018 officially. And they, it was like hugely successful. And then it kind of has taken off from there. And I've been with them ever since. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so mm-hmm. cool. Have you taught any classes at the exchange?
Yes, actually quite a few. I've done like corrective color classes, things like that. It's really always fun to like co-facilitate with Redken artists because like they're so good, like they're so trained and like, you know, they're just top level. So yeah, I've got to do a few classes at the exchange, a few photo shoots at the exchange, a lot of fun things. It's always good like to be like up high in New York City and like be able to look down over Fifth Avenue. I'm like, this feels so cool.
Yeah. It is so, very cool.
Yeah.
If you're listening in, you haven't done the Redken exchange thing, it's very cool. Yeah. I did it like in the old building. I think they changed buildings like a few years ago. So
they did. I've never been to the old building, but just the new one. But it's beautiful. It's amazing. Yeah.
Y'all can share stories.
That's where I first met.
I haven't been to either. So
to the exchange. Yeah. That's where I first met Chris and Sam, Chris Barron and Sam Bia. I did oh my gosh, what's the name of that class? It's like it's their public speaking class.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that was. So that's when I first met Sam and Chris and Chris is Chris came on the podcast and kind of did us some big favors, you know?
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really, it was. Yeah. Yeah. He's such a good dude.
Yeah.
Have you spent a lot of time with him?
Yeah, we've actually been at a lot of events together. Redken has this thing called RAC. It's like their artist connection. And so like they did one year where they had all the exchange facilitators, including the ambassadors together. So we've had like long, like kind of intimate blocks of time together. We've done a lot of events. Like we were at the Behind the Chair show last year where he actually like styled my model for me. Like there's things like that. So it's, yeah, we've had lots of connection. Yeah.
He's just so like, his eye is just ridiculous, you know, and he's such a nice guy. I mean, they call him Papa Bear for a reason.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, exactly. He's a big Papa Bear. Yeah, that's right.
Every time we see him at the shows, he's just so sweet and kind and, you know, and he gives a great big bear hug. And,
Yeah. I love Chris. So you're a salon owner as well. Dude, how do you do it all?
That's a question I get a lot. So I don't have like a salon. Like I have a like kind of a combination space, like a multi-purpose space. So I'm in my office now, but then I have like a studio space with just one chair just for me. And then the entire front half of my space is actually a retail space. It's a storefront. So yeah, like, so I don't do a lot of work behind the chair now. And so I basically do like content models, a couple clients here and there. So I really just, I try and manage my time and like get like the big things scheduled first. And then like also like work in like blocks. Like if I need to create content, like I create a lot of content in a short amount of time. Or, and I also systemize my businesses where they don't have, like I don't have to be in the middle of them to run them all the time. So I have my retail space and an e-commerce store. My brother and I are actually opening like an event venue and catering space. And then it will have like an attached like restaurant to it. So it's like, but the way that we're setting up is like a lot of my work is on the front end. And then I'm not super involved in like the day-to-day running with it. So it's like, I'll like manage the build out and I'll help with like getting the business system structured and like the digital space. And then after that, I'm like, go run it. <You know? laughs> Like, gotta go.
You said an e-commerce space. What is it? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my entire storefront, like I have like a corresponding like e-commerce store with it online. So literally, I think I have like 700 SKUs, but it's all like high-end, like self-care items, like hair, skin, bath, body, home, things like that. Like anything basically like you would need to like take home and like create like a really beautiful like skincare ritual or like, you know, bath time, like things like that. And so I have an e-commerce store as well. So with that is corresponding to my store.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So are you like when they e-com it, are you packing it and shipping it and stuff? Is that part of your details mm-hmm. as well?
Yeah, like we have all inventory in house right now, and then so we don't have like a fulfillment center or anything. So it's all done here. Yeah,
it's kind of cool, man. Once again, I mean, it's like the more we talk to people, like just how you've set that up is totally different than, you know, anyone that else that I've kind of talked about. I mean, we mm-hmm. see a lot of like, I mean, we had Salon Interactive on the podcast a few weeks ago or a month ago or so, but you know, kind of how they're playing middleman in it, and you're still mm-hmm. getting it from your distributor, and you know, it's going direct to consumer, and then you know, kind of what Ulta's doing. Certainly, I mean, yours is kind of similar to Ulta, maybe not at the same scale, but it's kind of that. And then years ago, like in the early 90s, Tony and I worked at a salon that did the same thing. Like yeah. it was a full working salon, you know, it was 30 hairdressers, but the front end looked like Target.
Yeah,
there were so many products up there.
I mean, that was kind of the idea. It was ultimately it was a passion project. I'm like, I just want to be connected. I want my space to be connected into the beauty world. Like, but I wanted to think beyond like traditional like hair care and shampoo conditioner, because I'm like, people ask me for all kinds of recommendations. Like, why am I not monetizing that? Same thing as like kind of being an influencer. It's like you monetize like your taste and your recommendations and like your space is like a pro. And so the idea behind the space, and it was something I was kind of playing with versus like, this is going to be my business because I do 20 million things. I was like, I want to see what it's like to actually create a retail space that's like divorced from a hair service, but like still with like the pro in the center of it. And so like someone doesn't have to come in and get their hair done to want to buy retail. And it's actually been amazing because it's like people are still coming to me because they trust my recommendation because I'm a pro. And like, I've already picked everything and like it's curated. And so it really is, it was an interesting kind of process to figure out like, what does it look like if we're not selling only to the clients behind our chair? So
I love it. I love all the different approaches, right? Because we're all different, right? So we have, there's systems that work for you that might not, I care for, I'll do it differently. And it's funny, sometimes we'll catch slack about, you know, some people might reach out and say, oh, that, you know, that's wrong. You're going to hurt us or whatever. You know, not every system is the same, right? So mm-hmm. what works for you, that's what's so beautiful about our industry is that there's a million different approaches to sell retail. And yeah. you know what I mean? And it, there's enough for everybody and it works for everybody. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a particular way. And I think what you're doing is fantastic because you're being able to become literally a e-commerce or a store by yourself, you yeah. know, particular brand.
I think what I gathered from this experience, because we just literally just had like 1 year anniversary, like this last, like 2 days ago. So like of opening the doors. And I think like what I've learned more than anything is like how important it is, like whatever hairdressers decide to do in the retail space, whether it's you know, connecting with something like Salon Interactive or utilizing like their distributors, like like a lot of distributors now are doing something similar where they like offer a web page and they basically have the whole catalog available, or affiliate links, or getting a more robust, like actual brick and mortar retail space, whatever that version is. It's like hairdressers need to reclaim their space back in the retail area. Like, I feel like we've allowed and kind of like given the recommendations and give the opinions and like done all the work, and like everyone else is like kind of monetized off of it. And I don't think hairdressers have like really fully like empowered themselves to step in that role and like claim all that money back and claim all that, like the monetization of like their powerful recommendation, their powerful influence. It's like, step back into that space, like take it all up, like use the affiliate links, use the distribution, use your own space, like use it all and make that money.
Yeah, being in a studio suite like Tony and I are, you know, it's kind of hard to mm-hmm. hold a lot of products. So, you know, like I'm going to triple down on Salon Interactive, but
yeah,
to your point, we also have some other distributors that we work with that have stores as well. So at some point, or where it's starting to get for me, it's starting to get confusing, you know. So meaning like, okay, like I love the Color Wow brand, and I'm like, okay, well, if you want Color Wow, you have to use this link, but if you want the Redken, you have to use this link, and if you want this, you know, whatever that other, if you want Paul Mitchell, you have to use this other link, you know. So I wish that maybe I should just set up my own QR code or my own like mm-hmm. page, then do it, you know, not with links necessarily, but maybe with like some photographs.
I have something like that on my webpage. So I had a couple brands I wanted to carry, but they only offered like affiliate programs. They didn't offer like actual wholesale. And so where I have my brands listed, I actually have a spot for like affiliate links. So if someone wanted to shop that brand, it's like a separate page where they can like actually go and shop like my links that way. And so I think having like your own like website and then actually organizing it, and you could create like a version of a storefront or like a button that says like shop Redken here, shop Paul Mitchell here, shop Color Wow here. And so it is organized and all in one place. So your clients literally just like go to the landing page and shop from there.
That's so awesome. What's your website there, Cassandra? Because I'm going to go take a peek at that.
Yes, it's emeraldroombeauty.com.
Emeraldroombeauty.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the name of your salon?
Mm-hmm.
Salon, I put that in quote.
Yeah, my store. I call it a store. Yeah. Store? It's more of a store than anything. So, yeah. Yeah. That's
really cool, it. Man.
Yeah.
So when we were talking in Texas, you're getting into like the coaching or the mm-hmm. but it's different. It's not like salon coaching. But I'm not going to say it's not salon coaching. How is your coaching? What are you doing with your coaching, dude?
Yeah. So I'm actually on my second certification. So I got certified last year. Gosh, time. What even is time right now? in neurolinguistic programming, hypnosis, and timeline therapy, which are like really specific modalities. And so I went through this program. It was like a year-long program where I got certified as like a mindset coach. And it was really beautiful, really amazing. But I also was like, I don't feel fully equipped to handle a lot of like, I don't feel fully resourced to handle a lot of the issues that entrepreneurs in general are facing. Like what I was discovering, it's like there were like tools for change, but like a lot of business blocks, even business, not even just like life coaching, but in business coaching, a lot of the blocks, a lot of the obstacles, a lot of the resistance is rooted in some form of like trauma, limiting belief, or like kind of core wound. Like, so for instance, like getting down to like not being worthy, not feeling valued, not feeling good enough. Like those are the root, and a lot of them are rooted in childhood. And I was like, so where can I actually go to get resource to deal with like the real issues so I can affect like real change? And so I decided to get my master coaching certification, which I'm going through this year. I'm going to be done in December. Super intensive program. I mean, literally like tons of work every week. Like, I mean, I've logged probably 300 or 400 hours of coaching. And what I've learned is I've been dealing with like entrepreneurs and creatives. So actually outside the beauty industry, 99% of the people I coach right now I coach with authors and artists and lawyers and like people in this like completely different space. We all got the same stuff. We all got the same issues. We've all got like, it's all rooted in, unresolved trauma, all rooted in beliefs that we allowed ourselves, our subconscious to really take hold of. And like, we've solidified those throughout like a lifetime of saying, oh, look, that's true because of this. And so yeah, I'm really leaning into the coaching world now. I'm launching my coaching business end of this year, which I'm super excited. And I'm going to focus on entrepreneurs and creatives and obviously have space for like the beauty industry professionals because that's where my heart is. But it's really open to all industries because we're all really sitting in a lot of the same stuff.
all the same swamp there, right?
Yes, exactly.
How do you, we're all stewing together.
And so I call it the soup. I'm like, we're all boiling in the soup. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're going through these trainings and stuff, like how is it possible to disconnect yourself from it, or are you being connected to it? Meaning you looking at your own soup and your own childhood.
You have to, yeah, if you want to show up as a good coach. Like that is for me. And like, I see, without being like critical or judgmental, the fact is there are a lot of coaches out there that have never done their own healing. And like, it's very evident in the advice that they give, and like things are black and white or dogmatic or whatever. Like that is like a coping mechanism to like look important versus like in getting in the coaching space, like when something's like fluid and curious and like developed in discovery, it's got a very different energy. And like, you have to look at yourself to be able to hold that kind of space for someone else. Like, and so my own healing like has been absolutely like a pivotal decision to actually show up in the coaching world. So like, I mean, I've gone into like really deep trauma work, and like, it's literally like directly proportionate to the space I can hold for someone else is the space I'm willing to create for my space myself first. So you are forced to, well, you, I shouldn't say you're forced. You should look at your own stuff as you're going through it. So like through basically every module, I mean, we've gone through things like sexuality and shame and boundaries and joy and guilt and like whole like intensive modules on like these emotions, dealing with trauma, dealing with emotion, like deep emotions. All of our exercises on the other end are much more self-reflective than even like looking at it from like a technical standpoint, because like throughout the program, they know like if you look at your own stuff, you're able to hold space for other people's. So yeah, it's absolutely, in my opinion, absolutely necessary. Yeah.
You say that's the end of this year?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
I know.
Away, dude. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm going to in Austin. They're doing like a graduation, like kind of retreat. So it'll be like, I think it's December 9th. So I'll graduate before that. And then like, that will be like the send off, like we're done. Yeah. So,
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank
congrats.
You.
I know that takes, you were saying like the work that it takes, but it also takes work, right? It takes work.
Yeah.
It takes work.
Yeah. And you like, in order to get the benefit, and I can tell like so much, like when I started the program, I was super rigid about my coaching. I'm like, I don't know what question to ask. Where should I go? What should I do? And like, as you do the healing work, like your ego and your identity starts to decrease. And like, you show up as like a neutral, clean space for someone without like investment of an outcome. And that's what I think for me that I found to be the most important. You don't have to be the hero in someone else's story to be able to hold space for them. And that's where I see a lot in the coaching world. And again, not to be disparaging, but it is a fact. There are a lot of coaches that want to be the hero. Like their ego is like in that front and center space of saying, I know what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. And you need to do it the way that I want you to do it. And to me, I feel like that actually like diminishes like the exponential impact that like really great coaching can have. And so it's really only been probably the last 4 months I felt like I stepped into this like super confident space where I'm like, I can handle anything with anyone because like I'm not invested in any one specific outcome. Like it's all possible.
I got to tell you, I can't believe you said that because that's literally the journey that I'm on right now.
It's like not
connected to outcome, you know, like, and ironically tomorrow's election day, and like me going into election day this year has been totally different than it has in the past because I'm not connected to the outcome of it. You know, I'll do my duty, you know, I'll do what I think is right for the country. But as far as like a winner and loser in it, mm-hmm. I don't have that connection anymore. And not just with like something that big, but even the small stuff, like I'm really trying to work on like I not, again, there's no better words than that, not being connected to the outcome of whatever. Now it sucks as a sports fan because I've kind of got to the point to where I'm like, meh, like, but it's actually interesting too, because I can watch like a football game or a basketball game or whatever, and I can just watch it as a fan and I can't. Well, you know,
I was watching the Chiefs last night. I'm like, they're going to win. like it's going to happen.
All right, well,
they did. So. Yeah, they did. I was good.
Listen, in December, come see me and we'll have this conversation.
Okay.
And connect to the outcome. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's
Corey will coach you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, but that's, I mean, you can still enjoy it. You know, you just not, yeah. You know, whatever, you know, just let it go.
Well, there is such a power though in detachment, because like the biggest thing, and this is actually like a,
that out of context is the weirdest.
There's power in detachment. Well, like, I mean, think about like the need for control and how it affects so many people's lives and relationships. Like that is always rooted in like trauma and core wound. Like if you look at something that threatens your safety, your control, or like approval and community, those three, almost every trauma could be rooted back into like a need for that. Like I have this attachment to the outcome because I have a need for control that makes me feel safe. I have to have that. And so when you start like,
can I back you up a little bit? What were the three things? I want to write them down.
It was safety or security, control, and approval. Like, so for instance, like if you're a baby and you don't have your family's approval, like, you know, if they don't accept you or whatever, like that can mean your life as a baby. If you're, you know, a young person and, you know, something happens out of your control that threatens your safety, like all those things, like a lot of core wounds are rooted in like those three needs, basic needs as a child. And we're wired biologically to like need those things. And so attachment and like the things that our ego creates and our identity creates and all those things, like being really attached to a specific outcome is usually rooted in some form of trauma. So being able to like slowly be detached from things means that you start healing that relationship with control. You start healing that relationship with your trauma. And like that element of surrender actually allows for bigger and more abundant things to come in your life. So like, if you look at principles of like manifestation and things, the need to control the outcome or the how, or actually what, limits the opportunity of like what can actually be brought into your life. And it's the release and the surrender that actually allows for like true abundance and exponential outcome.
Sounds like a bunch of small talks.
So we do like,
go ahead.
Yeah, we do this. We're trying to get back into it. It's just been really hard with scheduling everything. But pre-2020, we did this Thursday podcast release called Small Talk. And what it was, it would be like a 20 to 30 minute conversation. It's like we don't say who Cassandra is. We don't introduce. I mean, we introduce her, like, you know, Cassandra McLaughlin, but tell us about X, you know, it's not all the, and then we dive deep into X. And if we get 20, and honestly, that's like 15 to 30 minutes of like really awesome content. It always goes over.
Each of these can be an X.
That sounds like fun to me.
Yeah. So let's do this, Cassandra. And if you're listening in, put pressure on us to keep us honest. Once you're fully graduated and stuff, maybe like first of the year stuff, what if we did it and we packaged it like a New Year's resolution type stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Conversations, yeah, yeah. Or resolution conversations.
Or manifestation, yeah.
Ooh, I like it. All right, cool. Yeah. We're going to do that. So if you're listening in, put pressure on us if you want to hear it.
Make us do it.
yeah, totally make us do it. But yeah, then you're graduated and then you're like official and all that kind of stuff. And then you can launch, you know, you'll be launching your business and
maybe
we could save some lives there.
Yeah, but I love that. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool, man.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, go ahead. I was going to say, so can give us all your handles, how our listeners can follow you and keep in contact with you and know more about you.
Yeah. So I'm basically Cassandra Platinum everywhere. So Instagram, it's a lot of hair content. I am incorporating more coaching and trauma healing into that. My website is cassandraplatinum.com. I have a waitlist sign up for the coaching programs that I'm launching. So you can go there, get signed up and stay informed. You can email me at cassandra@cassandraplatinum.com. You can find me on Facebook at cassandraplatinum. So yeah, that's basically my handle everywhere. So, and then, I mean, my name is Cassandra McLaughlin, but it's Cassandra Platinum everywhere.
Spell when you're a hairdresser.
I know. I was like, should I just legally change my name? Cause like I had this thing once, like a premiere where I looked at the magazine and like they had my last name as Platinum everywhere. It was like Cassandra space Platinum. And I was like, all right, we'll just go with it.
No, yeah. It works. You know, people know that's how they know. When we were at Hair Love, was it Chelsea? Somebody like introduced, somebody said like, but you're a brunette. How can you be platinum?
And it was Missy. That's what
it was. It was Missy.
Yeah.
That's right. It was Missy.
Okay, yeah. She's like, you're no longer platinum. I'm like, it was the name of my salon. Yeah. Yeah.
Not my hair. So
I was platinum at the time though, when I named the salon. So,
She tripled down.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cassandra, thank you so much for hanging out with us and giving us that bomb knowledge. And I definitely want to do some small talks on it. So if you're down, we're down, and we can chat it up, and we can also promote what you're up to.
Yeah.
These days, Cassandra. If it's not platinum, what would it be? Cassandra, Coach Cassandra.
Coach Cassandra. I don't know. I got to think about that one. Yeah. I'm always bad at names and titles and stuff like that. It's what do you want to name this salon? I'm I have no idea. It's pure panic mode for me.
I think you go with something about outcome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
We'll brainstorm. Maybe I'll shoot you some ideas. You shoot me some ideas.
That'll be a one-way conversation. You'll be like, oh, these ideas. I'm like, I'm an idiot, dude. You got
the wrong guy. Help me.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cassandra, thanks for hanging out with us. And thank you for joining us on your day off.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.